Secrets from a Coach. Thrive and maximise your potential in the evolving workplace. Your weekly podcast with Debbie Green of Wishfish and Laura Thompson-Staveley of Phenomenal Training.
Debs.
Law, you all right?
I am now. It's been a strange old week, Debs.
What's happened, Law?
Well, at the start of the week, you know, you have those things of, what am I doing? Where's my life going? What's the plan? It feels like everyone else just seemed to be really full of purpose and full of energy. And I felt, I don't know, I just had this sudden feeling of feeling left behind, which is completely irrational because I know that's subjective and what does it mean to be left behind? But yeah, I just couldn't shake it. It was really interesting. And then now, actually, as the sort of week has progressed, I feel completely different. And it's amazing, isn't it, just how up and down sometimes emotions can take us. And
absolutely.
That sort of reminder that I hold on to that really helps, which is no feeling is final. You know, you might feel completely different in the next couple of days. And we had a chat and it really sorted my head out. And I feel kind of back on purpose. Is it just me, or are you seeing these kind of ups and downs around you?
Yeah, definitely. It's not just you. There's quite a few people going through ups and downs and trying to decide what they want to do as well at the moment. But it's just having that opportunity to have the space to talk, I think, which makes it really, really valuable for people to unravel whatever their brain is. But I can share something with you that might give you a little more of a bit of a boost, actually. We've hit the dizzy heights of, we've got a listener and her team in Sydney, Australia. And she sent over her feedback. So long story short, we did some work with her when she was in London. She's gone back to Australia. So she said, hey, I listened to your podcast for the first time yesterday and absolutely loved it. She couldn't stop listening, which is always a good sign. She listened to a couple of episodes back to back and she said, you know, you and Law together are just so engaging and great. And it made her feel like she was back in the UK in one of our training sessions. And she's going to pass that on to her team to listen to as well. So there's your purpose, Law. That's what we get back.
Oh, there you go. Oh, how fab. Needy little old me. Oh, somebody does like us.
Stop.
No, but how wonderful. But, you know, linking to the topic of what we're going to be covering today, which is creating team harmony for results. So if, you know, I'm having an individual wobble, then that's going to have an impact on the team that's around me. And actually, because of the way our team works, we're so fortunate in that we ground each other if we're feeling a little bit kind of hyper, and we lift each other if we're feeling a little bit down. So there's that kind of harmony that isn't able to happen. What's life like for anyone who is leading a team and responsible for bringing in team results at the moment, Debs? What are you picking up on the radar about the team enabling results, but maybe when there's lots of stuff going on and, you know, comings and goings, etc.? So what are you seeing at the moment that might be worthwhile just for us to have a think about so we can really set up for success?
Yeah, definitely. I think what I'm noticing is this lack of trust to some extent, and there's a bit of disharmony going on. And what it reminded me of, talking to a team, was that, you know, Patrick Lencioni's model. Do you remember that? The five dysfunctions of a team.
Love that model.
Remember that? Love it.
I love it. I think it's just so powerful. Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought, actually, you know, when you think about, you know, trust is at the foundation of every relationship to be able to create harmony. And I suppose when there's an absence of trust, what happens is that, you know, there's this not, it doesn't feel real. There's no genuineness coming through. We're just going through the motions. So there's this lack, if you like, of what we call not being vulnerable. So not opening up and sharing with the team that, you know, this is where I'm at, this is how I'm feeling about things, this is what I'm sensing in the team. So if people aren't having that, if you like, human connection, and they're not showing a level of vulnerability, showing that they are human, then that doesn't help with the trust, which then leads to the conflict that could be going on around in that team environment. So it might be either people avoiding any difficult conversations because they don't want to. And actually, you know, that doesn't help us either, because then there's this sense of this artificial harmony that goes on. So it's not real. And that's really, that's quite destructive to a team when you see that going on.
Do you know what that reminds me of? In the spirit of Secrets of My Coach, we never divulged who it was or what industry it was even, but I remember working on a project with you 6-7 years ago, and there was a lot of stuff that was going on in terms of that huge organisation sort of dynamics. And we'd been part of a meeting where a surface level, that veneer, there was an artificial sense of harmony, everyone nodding along going, yeah, that sounds a great idea, let's do it. The key decision makers then left the room. The kind of the real people were sort of left behind who were going to enact it, who were there in the room kind of clearing up and tidying, etc. And then there was all that disgruntlement of people saying, well, I'm not going to do that. And they basically had all of the, they kind of thrashed it out, but while the decision makers weren't there in the room, so nothing can then be done. And I remember you challenged the people on that, saying, what stopped you from bringing that into the room? Because nothing then happened on that project. There was no progress that happened, because although there was an artificial sense, as you said, of nodding along, okay, yeah, we'll do it, actually the space wasn't there that enabled people, or they didn't have the motivation to say, actually, can we have a relook at this? Because I'm not sure the original plan we said is going to work. So I think that confidence and the courage to speak up, if your gut feel is thinking, there's no way this project's going to get off the ground, but you're sort of nodding along in this sort of artificial harmony, then that will have an impact on results, because
energy
and moving things forward is really needed right now to kind of get some momentum back in the room.
Yeah, and I think that's where, you know, if you are leading a team at the moment, I think that's where, how do you set that team up for success by, you're creating that space where, you know, you can have those open, quite candid conversations and discussions, which enable you to sort of move through that. So it's those healthy debates, you know, saying, let's talk about this and let's like thrash it out, really. Because as you said, otherwise, they're not discussing the real issue in the room, and they're not addressing it. And as you say, that's when all the, you know, behind the scenes conversations take place, and then somebody else is winding somebody else up about it. And it just creates this, I say, conflict potentially, or, you know, and then people won't deal with it, which I suppose then leads into that thing about there's no commitment then that comes out, which is that, you know, next level is loads of ambiguity around, well, what are we actually here to do? And I haven't got the authority to make any decisions because that's being done by somebody else. So therefore, there's no commitment to making anything happen, actually, because there's no focus on the clarity that's needed, or closing down things and reflecting on how was that, how did we do, could we have improved on it for the next time. So, you know, there's not this one voice approach that's going on, which does not help at all. And it just causes, again, this conflict, potentially lack of trust. So if that's not there, then it feeds back down, and then it just can go around that loop, if you like, all of the time. So it's thinking, I think, about how we can create that space where we start to put our standards in, so we can have some accountability for how we're doing. So we're all, as much as possible, there's 100% buy-in to what we are here to do together. And I think that's the bit that about, you know, making sure that we are enabling people to take part, we're hearing other people's thoughts, their ideas, people feel like they've got some ownership for whatever it is they're working on, and they're not avoiding that either. So, and I think that's something which is really, really important, because then it helps achieve whatever the results are, right? So, you know, we're looking at the team goals, we're focusing on what the outcome, what the team can do. So it's not about one person who brings their ego or their, you know, their own focus on their own personal stuff. You know, they're only in it for themselves, and their own department, say, but they're actually doing it for the greater good. They're doing it because it's the right thing to do. And it's a focus on how we can get there, what do we need to get us there, and then how we can bring the team along with us, which leads to others wanting accountability, which means they're committed to the cause, which means there is this great debate and discussions that go on, which in effect builds trust amongst the team. So that's the importance of making sure that you've got it right, I think, as a leader at the moment.
Oh, Debs. I mean, beautifully described. And and I can see, you know, here we are maybe at the a stage in our social history of work where there are a lot of firsts happening. So first project kickoff meetings where there might be the first time that everyone has physically been in a room, for example, together. So people might have interacted quite easily and, you know, quite familiar with each other, but maybe in a hybrid way where either all are online or half are in the room or dialing in, et cetera, et cetera. But many clients of ours and lots of people we know are having sort of firsts, you know, first team sort of sessions kind of in. There's a lovely phrase, I'll reference it properly in the description, but about how harmony doesn't happen when everyone sings the same note. So just what you were saying about those different voices not being one voice, which runs a risk of groupthink. You know, we all just make a wrong decision and no one challenges, which can lead to some real safety issues as well. But actually welcoming in that harmony, and harmony is when you have multiple different notes just all working in chord with each other rather than discord. So it's kind of it's harmonious, as in you want more and more of it. You know, it's not a meeting that you just can't wait for it to end. You know, it's actually quite enjoyable because you're in that kind of flow and you're properly sort of concentrating on something. Something that I've been working with a team of leaders recently, and just what was coming up as a key conversation on some of the modules was how to ensure that new starters joining, because certainly here in the UK, we've got record amount of new starters starting new roles in this kind of current couple of months. How do you ensure that new starters join an established team where those established team members see someone new joining as an opportunity as opposed to a threat? And what might be some simple things that you can do with existing team members, even just having a half an hour chat to say, I know we've got some new people starting. What, in your opinion, is the best way that we can set up to maximise success? A real bland, generic, open-ended question, but a game changer, as they then reported back when we then did a follow-up, a game changer in the comfort levels of some people that were starting to get a little bit prickly about new starters joining and kind of a bit possessive over what was their job, and, you know, because they were worried it was going to take away some of their status. And it was just a reminder of, you know, sometimes just having the opportunity to ask someone, this is happening, what are your thoughts? Yeah. Everyone just backs down and sees it as an opportunity rather than a threat.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, that just triggered a thought, actually. I saw that play out in real time. I was with an amazing leader who's, again, her whole team has changed by one person. And I was privileged to be in the room because we were talking about, you know, their 2022-23 goals, all of that stuff. And what she did brilliantly was you could sense that the person that's been there for a very long time was a little bit nervous about these new people coming in, as you were saying. But what she did was she asked questions. She listened to her responses. She asked her opinion. So, you know, when we always say, when we do the YMCA model, and I know you'll go through with that, but she played that model perfectly because you could see the other person absolutely relaxing the more they were in conversation and in flow. But it was because of the way that this leader was behaving to ensure that that person did felt listened to and was able to have that space. And, you know, she was putting some quite forceful things across, but they were all coming from a place of fear and uncertainty. But the way the leader handled it was a masterclass in bringing somebody along with you for the ride. And they felt like at the end of it, she commented and said, I feel so privileged to be part of this conversation, and thank you for sharing, and I've got your back, and, you know, leader, all of that stuff. It was just brilliant to watch that transition. And I was just observing what was going on in that, and it was beautifully done. So credit to that leader for thinking about, you know, how am I going to come across here? But what do I want to know from the other person first?
To then enable, the base note within that harmony to continue out, even though there might be all sorts of different notes that then sort of join in later. You know, we can't do it without that base note just there, you know, that kind of wisdom and all that, you know, the established kind of team member, etc. I just think it's, I think, again, because there are so many firsts. I mean, we could have been talking about this a couple of years ago, saying, oh, make sure new people feel welcome. But as always, we like to put a pandemic lens in on this. And there's been so much change and uncertainty. It's really rocked, you know, most of us in terms of, well, what does this mean for my career, for example, this time next year? So even more people might be spotting things that might get in their way of their aims and goals that maybe for some people have been put on hold for a little bit. So anything that can be done by the team to ensure that new members joining in are the way for us all to succeed, not in the way for me to succeed and sort of a move from, you know, and us to sort of, you know, working sort of together. Just with the old YMCA. So I loved it when you then took us through that on a session we were running, God, years ago now, isn't it?
That was a long time now. Back it
the
out.
Carousel of content comes round. Touch it up a little bit. It's YMCA. We'll have to think of a 2022 kind of song, won't we?
We will.
Anyway, YMCA. So in short, your thoughts, that's the Y. My thoughts, that's the M. The C is let's clarify or kind of confirm where we're at. And then the A is, so let's agree moving forward. And it's a reminder that, you know, the old Stephen Covey, seek first to understand before to be understood. And if you've got a king in your car that you want to lay down, you want to jolly well make sure that someone hasn't got the ace. And otherwise it can cause a little bit of kind of, you know, an awkward misstep in a conversation. And I still think, Debs, the single solo skill that is, for me, a definition of a really effective leader, manager, whether that's professional or personal life, is asking questions.
Oh, my God, completely.
I would sum it up
yes.
in that.
Yeah, definitely. And then listening to the response about not what they're just saying, but what they're not saying. So how astute can that leader be to listen between the lines, as I always call it? So what is the intent that sits behind the words and the language? And I think because you can, those nuances are so, so important. And if you're not really listening, you're going to miss that. And again, that creates a space for potential misunderstanding, miscommunication, potentially lack of accountability, all of that stuff that can riff off the back of that. You know, it doesn't help. But I think that's why it's important to not be afraid to regroup either. Yeah, I've been working with a couple of leaders this week and they are starting to think, actually, let's just regroup. And you go, yeah, why would you not? You know, so that's been really interesting to watch how they're thinking about what are we focusing on, which is right. And we have to all do this, you know, but actually let's regroup and just make sure that we're all going in the right direction. You know, are we of the same values, you know, and not being afraid to lean in and regroup the people to say, no, we're heading this way, whether they're new people straight into the team because they need that clarity. Whether they're first timers coming back into work, they haven't been back since the beginning of the pandemic. And there was a couple of people that was their first time in the office this week for 2 years, which is like, wow. So that's like starting over, right? So again, the skill to be able to, you know, if you like, bring those people together and align them in the right way is going to be the skill over the next 12 months, I think, to enable the team to feel part of it and feel like they are working in harmony together.
Yeah. Oh, I think you're absolutely spot on. And also, I think now is not a time to forget people.
No.
So some examples of sort of accidental inclusion, exclusion. So someone finding out afterwards on a WhatsApp message that, you know, XYZ was agreed at a team drinks that happened impromptu the other Thursday night. That previously, you might have just brushed that off. Now, for some people, that will cut like a knife in terms of if that was the first time that team was having a social and you happened to be one of just a couple of people that were excluded for whatever reason. And isn't it going to be interesting, Debs, how this hybrid working plays out? So
yeah.
Will it actually mean that people who are based virtually will have less, you know, opportunity to get involved in things, less visibility than people who are working in a real world situation? So that will be interesting to see how that then plays out, because there are some clients that we're working with who are fully remote for the foreseeable, and there are others for whom, you know, they've just been dormant sort of office space waiting to then sort of come back in. So I think that will be interesting to see from an inclusion and, you know, creating that team harmony, what the geography impact has.
Yeah, definitely. That's really important, actually, Law. I think that's really important what you've just said there, that making sure that, as you say, we're all heading in the same direction and there is a focus on something good. There is a focus on the goal You know, because we're doing this today, it's going to impact on this, whatever this goal might be in the next 3 or 6 months. And I think that's what people need to focus in on, is where are we heading at this moment in time?
Yeah. And in fact, that reminds me of just what I was going to say before about how it doesn't always have to be the leader saying, can we regroup?
It's absolutely,
I think it's us sort of tapping into our teamship skills. So I don't have to be the formal leader to be the one that always has to be the one saying, shall we just regroup and, you know, redefine what the vision is for this year? That can be anyone as part of that team, because if you're stuck in traffic, you're part of traffic. If you're part of a team and it's all a bit confused about where you're going, you're part of that confusion. And actually, in terms of a results-oriented team, as you were saying with that sort of Lencioni kind of model, me having skin in the game and therefore being as committed as the leader is for us as a team to be able to achieve is going to be, you know, kind of really key to be able to ensure that the team isn't sort of stuck the larger it gets. Because I think that's going to be the other interesting thing about how if we're already a bit slow because we're not being able to work in harmony, then if we, as we scale and grow, we're going to get more cumbersome. Whereas actually what we're seeing is much more of a trend towards flexible, fluid, agile teams, because even how you define team might change. You know, who you work with, depending on the types of projects and roles that you've got, you might work with completely different people each day of the week because of the nature of your role.
Yeah, and I think one of the other skills you're going to have to be even more brilliant at is communication. Setting out what the goals are, how are we going to get there, what can we all do to help us move towards that? And I think if we're not communicating, or there's an assumption that we've communicated something but we haven't, then I think that's the responsibility back to go, has my message landed in the way that I intended it to land? So I think, you know, dialing up the volume on being clear on my communication, really clear on it, so there's no, if you like, ambiguity that goes on, which again can cause conflict, and then it's distrust. So off we go again to the foundation. The core foundation of everything is trust. And if that starts to splinter because somebody or you as a leader or somebody else hasn't communicated well, and even close that communication loop, then it's going to go to pot, really. So we need to think about how we communicate too.
Do you know what you just reminded me of? Amazing senior leader that we've worked with and partnered with for a number of years, Adam. Yes. I remember him telling me about something he learned as leadership strategies from his time in the military. And it's called the two-up intent strategy. And I think this is a beautiful bit of kit right here, right now, where we want to move and gain momentum. There's quite a bit at stake. There's a lot of moving and shifting we need to do. And do we have to keep waiting for the person at the top of the hierarchy to say, yes, we can go for it? Actually, you know, you might be, that might slow things down. So what Adam was sharing is how the army do it. It's something called the two-up intent, where every single person in an organization, in the layer of the organization, is crystal clear about what the intent is two levels back. So every frontline foot soldier is aware of what is the strategic intention behind the task you're doing that day, two levels back. And what that then means is it means people can make dynamic decisions when they're there faced with a scenario, because what it said on the map might be different from the actual territory.
Yeah,
and then you're
true.
Not then waiting, kind of going up and down the food chain, trying to get some kind of moving forward. And I just think that's such a visual to then think about in terms of explaining to people that, you know, this is what we're doing and this is the focus that we've got for this week, to create team harmony so the team are able and empowered to work their way through the day-to-day challenges, having a clear understanding of the ultimate reason why we're doing something, at least two stages up, as the army would call it, just unlocks some of that decision-making and that ability to be flexible as a team. So the larger the team is, it doesn't mean that we get stuck. We still are fluid and flexible and agile, but that's determined by the flow of communication.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, I think actually, Lord, you've just made me think about how well do you therefore trust your team to do the job that you've employed them to do? Or are you suddenly become a micromanager, and because you don't trust your team, so you're not going to give them the ability to take responsibility or ownership for the job they're doing because you're nervous or worried or fearful, because then that's your ego playing into that. That's not, you know, your status, if you like. So I think a lot of that will be thinking about, you know, reflecting it back on yourself as a leader or a team leader or leader or CEO, whoever you might be, is just to say, yeah, do I trust my team to do the job that I employed them to do? And if there's a little inkling of, I'm not sure, then you need to go and do some work. You need to get out and you need to really understand and trust the team to do it, because, you know, no one, as we know, is indispensable, you know, so what are you going to do to ensure that, you know, the people that surround you and you people you rely on to do the job know it and can. But if there's that stop or pause when you go, can I trust my team to do the job they do? And you should say, yeah, absolutely. But if there's that pause, then that's a bit of a trigger for you to go, I need to know for sure. So what do I need to do next? Which is go out, talk, visit, pick up the phone, don't bury your head in the sand, take responsibility and accountability for yourself to start to be a bit vulnerable, to show that, you know, you're just checking in, you want to know how they're doing, so you can trust the team to do the job they're doing.
And likewise, Debs, me as a team member, do I trust that my team has got my back? Yeah. Or am I having to spend time watching my back? Because if actually the year ahead is, well, we've got all these tasks to do and we do have a bit of a laugh on meetings, but I'm not entirely sure that on the meetings I'm not there, yes, will people cover for me or not? Or will they throw me to the lions? You know, and so what that therefore then means is there is a little bit of me that is potentially not being as productive as I could be, because I've also got to look after myself and, you know, kind of have one eye on you to check you're not going to kind of, you know, say something that, that doesn't shine particularly well on me. So I think likewise, every member of the team, so anyone here who's part of a team or all part of some kind of team, do I wholeheartedly think my team has got my back? And if there is that little moment of hesitation, the next question, as you say, is what is it that is needed or what is it that is missing? And what can I therefore do that? Because if you're feeling it, other people might be as well.
Yeah,
and it might just
absolutely
be you haven't had that airtime together.
Yeah. And I think that would be my, you know, that would be my call to action, I think, is to take a moment and reflect on the team around you, you know, both your peer team, maybe, you know, your team you're managing or leading, and that might be even your home team, you know, look around you and just see, you know, what am I doing to being able to build the trust within that team, you know, and thinking about yourself, you know, what am I doing to be able to build, if you like, that commitment? And what am I doing to be able to build, you know, the harmony that we need to be able to take accountability? We've got really great standards and we're moving forward so that we do achieve. So we focus on what we want and the outcomes that we want. And I think that would be definitely my call to action. Just take a moment and reflect on what am I doing to help that? And that would be I would encourage people to think about. And if you're not doing it, do it.
Love it. And I think riffing on the theme with the Lencioni model you shared at the start, trust is the beginning. That is the foundation that brings everything out. So you may have worked in a role where you were absolutely smashing it out of the park, but it was more luck than kind of maybe effort that was put in. And then it's the trust is then what enables you to sustain it over time. Because, you know, if you don't trust the people that you're with, then that's going to create an undercurrent that maybe isn't harmonious as it could. And likewise, you know, harmony isn't everyone singing the same note. It's bringing out all of that choir of kind of energies. And then, you know, if you're feeling a little bit coffee that day, someone else, you know, can cover for you from a team point of view.
Absolutely.
You know, you've then kind of got it sort of covered. So my share the secret would be think of someone in your team, someone you identify as being part of your team, that for whatever reason, you're just not sure where they're at the moment. So if you were to describe, yeah, how is my teammate doing at the moment? If you think, actually, I don't know what's going on for them, make that the very next appointment you book in, just to check in, just to reestablish some energy, get some harmony going. Could it be that that 20-minute quick chat now could set you up to absolutely smash it in 6 months' time as a result of that warmth and energy that you've created and then the momentum that then enables?
Yeah, love that. Oh my God, that's such a good one. Love that, Law. Looking forward to hearing how people do as well in relation to that.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, so the focus on this discussion has been about creating team harmony for results. Now, what happens when team meetings go bad? So I'm really looking forward to covering next week's. So the February focus this month has been all about team harmony and effective working relationships, so healthy working relationships. The first episode was all about what is it to be in a healthy working relationship and how do we move from toxic to healthy. Today's been about what does that mean then from a team point of view. And next week is, well, what happens if there has been conflict and disagreement? What happens if there's been a rupture in our working relationship? How do we repair and restore? So we'll be looking at some real practical strategies next week. And sometimes these things are as useful for our personal lives as they are for our professional lives, aren't they? So these are hard won skills, but you know, the wonderful thing about learning, as B.B. King says, is no one can take it away from you once you've acquired that wisdom.
Oh, that's a good mic drop for you this week, Law. I love that.
Oh, we'll have a fantastic week. Love you,
Law. Love you. Bye.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. We'd love to hear from you. Email us at secretsfromacoach@aol.com or follow us on Instagram and Facebook. And if you're a Spotify listener, give us a rating as it makes it easier for us to share the secret with others.